Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Jonathan Ritter with Wake Up America Church Ministries. Hope you guys are having a good Wednesday night. So, working on Psalms, working to a preaching series on Psalms. Really got to Psalm 2 and really breaking it down. The Holy Spirit just really flowing, typing out the notes for Psalms 2. So, it's kind of why it took me about 2-3 weeks now working on this, letting the Holy Spirit guide and direct it. And it's going to end up into probably a 2-3 part of Psalm 2. And if you guys are tracking Psalm 1, we did about 3 weeks ago, maybe. It's on the website. It broke it down to two parts, I believe it was two parts, so that was a two part, and this will probably be a three part, maybe four part. So tonight we will be in Psalms 2, and I don't think we're going to get too far down, probably going to be in verse 1, but I'm going to read the whole psalm out. We'll pray and then we'll go into Psalms 2. A breakdown, a preaching, a teaching. Pray that it motivates, enlightens, it stirs the hearts for the Lord. Psalms 2, 1 through 12. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointing, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sit in heaven shall laugh, and the Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them into his sore displeasure. Yet I set my king upon my holy hill Zion. I would declare the decree the Lord has said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, I shall give thee the heathen for thy inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, thou shalt dash them in pieces like potter vessels. Be wise now, therefore, ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoicing with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just come tonight, thanking you for this opportunity, Lord, to get into your word, to cling to your word. We know that your word is powerful. We know your word gives us hope. Within the contents, there's hope. Within there is the power of the gospel. It's that comfort to our soul. God, I pray that you just be with this study, this preaching, this wherever it may be tonight, God. I pray that you guide this study, this preaching, and you direct it to whoever's hearing. If it's only just one person, that one person is matters. If it's many, so be. But these messages, as we get close to the end, people will not heap messages like this to their ears. They will heap messages like Joel Osteen, Clifford Dollar, Steve Furtick, all of these imposters, and millions will follow them straight to hell. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ, amen. This is a David Psalm. You can see that in Acts 4. 25, who by the mouth of the servant David has said, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? That's in Acts 4, verse 25. Why do the heathen rave and people imagine the vain thing, the same contents of the psalm? The human author of this psalm is David. Well, we truly know who is this, the author of the whole Bible. That's God, right? He moved in men to pen every word that we have today in our Holy Bible. And there's some we don't know about, right? Not everything was recorded. We can see that. We could not have enough volumes to cover all of it. You see, this psalm is one of the most quoted psalms in the New Testament. And it's very important to take this psalm and combine it with Psalm 1. They kind of work together. And we should study them together. And I encourage you guys, if you guys did not listen to Psalm 1 series, or that first part, that second part, I encourage you. But when we look at this psalm, Psalm 2, this can be a reflection of David. A David, his personal life. You can find, a lot of people will believe this, and I believe it. It's recorded in 2 Samuel 10. He was having a lot of opposition. People were coming against him. Why do the heathen rage? That's the Gentiles. He was working on moving a nation, a people, back to God. I love it. Steve J. Cole says here, you can follow his stuff on Bible Commentary at Bible.org. He puts it this way: even though the world scene looks as if God has been on extended vacation, David shows us that God's plan have not failed. And it shall not fail. Everything is under his ordained time. Thus David appeals to the rebellious nations to bow before the Almighty God while they still have time. This is very applicable for today, in our time, right? There's this lyric I found. It said, God's plan may a hopeful beginning, but man spoil his chance by sinning. We trust that the story, but at the present, the other side looks like it's winning. When we look at this world, it does look like it's winning. It appears that Satan is winning, but we know better. Our God is still on the throne. He is still in control. Everything is playing out and falling into place for the coming of our King, Jesus Christ, to this earth. And I believe that time is drawing nearer every day. Of course, there's a deeper meaning of this psalm, right? Let's get a little bit deeper here. Psalm 2 verse 1 says this: why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? I already mentioned that this psalm we can read in 2 Samuel 10 about the anointed king of Israel. And all those are opposing or rebelling against God and this anointed king. But why do the people truly rebel against God? And those who are true men of God that will stand on the word of God. We have to go back to the beginning, right? You can flip over there to Psalm 1, right? It's a three-letter word that is avoided, is skipped over. It's mentioned so fast that they're hoping nobody will catch on. But they will look at somebody like me that are preaching the truth, and they don't want to hear it. We need to pause and think about it. Sin. S-I-N. Sin destroys. Sin corrupts. Sin wreaks havoc on your soul. Sin breaks God's heart. Sin is a cancer. It will eat you until there's nothing left. Just a shell of emptiness. When we look at Genesis 1 through 3, we get a sense, and salvation begins in Genesis 1 through 3. Why? Because we have to understand we are sinful. We got to understand that this world was created perfect. It was good. But Adam and Eve, they sin. They disobey God. God clearly told Adam not to eat of that tree. I'm pretty sure Eve was very aware. You can see that dialogue in Genesis 3:1. We should never go into conversation with the enemy. Why? Because when we start thinking we got it, we don't. And that sin entered this world. Eve took of the tree and Adam followed right along with her. Satan smiled. His demons praised Satan. God's heart was ripped out. That's when sin came into this world. That's when we have disease now. We have viruses. We have suffering and pain. Why millions are going hungry? Why millions are homeless? Sin. This corrupt world is sin that destroys it. It's sin that destroys us. Never let nobody tell you that Genesis is not historically accurate. That Genesis is not history. It is history. It is the foundation of this world. It's more important than anything that these secular education teachers or systems are trying to peddle out their own religion. This anti-God. Believe in evolution. Believe in evolution. We don't need God. We don't want our kids to know about God. It should rip our hearts out. They should know God. It should be taught freely in schools. The Bible should be read as a curriculum. Salvation should be taught within them halls, let alone everything else. We remove God out of schools and our kids today and the young adults today. And look at them. They're confused. They're lost. They don't understand. Yes, Satan is demons. They are worthy opponents. Never be fooled. Satan is intelligent. Do we understand our enemy? Isaiah 14:12-14. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which thou weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. And I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the height of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Lucifer wanted to be God. He thought he could take him. Found out real quick that wasn't going down. Lucifer became Satan and the angels that fell with Lucifer, Satan. We get that from Revelation 12:4. There's different takes on that, but I draw that as the angels, a third of angels falling with Lucifer, Satan. And these angels are the fallen ones, and they are what we would call demons. They lost their title. A a royalty of honor. They became damned. You got Satan and demons, right? And they are against God. And they are against us. They do not care for true children of God that will stand, that will let their light shine. I know it's not many, because we can be so energized on Sunday. But Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, could not even pick us about out of lineup who goes to church on Sunday. We are supposed to be the church. We are supposed to be the light. We are supposed to be the disciples, right? But we got to understand that Satan wants to destroy God. He wanted to destroy him then. He wants to destroy us now. Started with Adam and Eve. Sin came into this world. We need to grow a spine. We need to stand up for the truth. We need to preach against sin. But the thing is, God did not leave Adam and Eve without hope. Genesis 3:15, I've quoted this quite a few times, and most of you may already be aware of this. It's one of the most, the first prophetic promise of the Messiah. Genesis 3:15, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. The calling of a Messiah. And if you look at this, you got the good and you got the evil, right? The good and the evil. And it's been like that since Adam and Eve took of the fruit from that tree. That tree of knowledge of good and evil. I believe Adam and Eve probably were the most intelligent beings at that time. Because I believe when God created everything, it was good until the curse. I believe they could access all of their mind. Just imagine accessing 100% of your brain. Most will say, we only access maybe 2-5%. Rare, you'll see somebody that access 10% of their brain. Could you imagine 100%? 100%? Wow. But they were deceived. Because they can't do it on their own. Intelligence can't do it. I know there's many people that are in the pulpit that got their education from a seminary education, and there's nothing wrong with it, but when it trumps the Holy Spirit moving in you, a man of God that is anointed, that is on fire for God, that has been praying all week, that's been fasting all week, that is seeking God's face and saying, Lord, let you speak through me. Let you speak through me. Use me. Not mine, but yours. Let the words that come out of my mouth are the words that you will have others hear. Where are the men of God today that are doing that? I read an article just the other day. Said that most pastors in America spend only about 7 minutes in prayer. Why? Prayer is important. Probably less fast. Prayer is direct communication to heaven. Within our brokenness, where our humbleness as we cry out to God. I can't do it on my own, God. I can't do it. I can't make it through this day. I pray Sunday that you pour through me this brokenness, this humbleness. Let your spirit pour out to reach those around. Give me strength to stand against my enemy. That thief that comes not but to kill and steal and destroy. He's like a lion seeking who he can devour. Satan is full of darkness. He's a liar. He's coming at us. He knows his time is limited. He knows it's getting close. And he's doing as much as he can to deceive as many people as he can. Spiritual warfare, guys. It's real. If you guys have not checked out I've done two series sermons on spiritual warfare. You can check them in the archives here. Plus, I have over 1 year of Bible studies on this page for spiritual warfare. Maybe two before it's over with. We need to understand the armor of God. Ephesians 6:10-18 says this. Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor. Put it all on. That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That's the schemes. That's the plots. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places, wherever take up you the whole armor of God, all of it, and be able to withstand in the evil day, and having down all to stand, understand, stand therefore having your loins girded with truth. That's the gospel. Having that breastplate of righteousness and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, where you shall be able to quench all the very darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit. And watching thereon with all perseverance and supplications for all saints. God provides us with protection. The armor of God. Question is, do we realize, as a child of God, we have this armor available? Do we check our mind and hearts every day? Do we get up early in the morning with worship and praise? And to first is to look through our Bible and study a verse or two and just think about it. Let it meditate on it. Pray over it. Seek God's face before you walk out them doors. Armor up, right? If not, we will be deceived. We will fall for temptations that will lead to destruction of our ministries, our testimonies. And I'm not that old, but I'm in my 40s, but I can tell you, I've seen too many fall in temptation that led to destruction of their testimonies and ministry because they didn't seek God. They didn't put their armor on. They didn't recognize the importance of recognizing there is a spiritual war and Satan wants to destroy every one of us as he can. And I explain, I preach on it. My heart breaks, especially in America. We're not getting it. The church is not getting it. We have to prepare our hearts in the morning. We have to armor up. We have to fast and seek His face daily. Our life is supposed to be different than that world. The way we walk should not match up with that lost person. We are supposed to be different. Our conversation is supposed to be different. Our walk in life is supposed to be different. We are supposed to be a reflection of the Most High. Are we? Are we? The second part of verse 1 on Psalm 2. The second part is, and the people imagine a vain thing. And when we look at the heathen rage, that's referring to the Gentiles and the people here. Is Jews imagining a vain thing. And this is kind of a, you'll see this in the New Testament when it speaks first the Jews, then the Gentiles. It's just giving an overview. Everybody's included in this. those that have not accepted. And that time, it would have been the promise of the coming of the Messiah. It was still grace by faith, of course, knowing that we can't do it on our own. That's why they had the, in the Old Testament, if you read through Leviticus and Deuteronomy and Numbers, the sacrificial system, all that was pointing to we could not do it on our own. You know, when we look at this second part of verse 1 here, people imagine a vain thing. Imagine. I started thinking of Noah. Really, my mind's really been fixated on Noah a lot. It's the Holy Spirit, and it pours out of me. I don't know. Something's coming to this world that's going to rock it. Of course, we know the second coming is going to rock it. By then, it's over. Game over, right? It's like you're playing a video game and you don't pass a level. It says game over. You can restart that. You won't be able to restart this. Genesis 6, 5 through 7 says, "And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart," and that was referring to man, that's humanity at that time, "was only evil continually, and repented the Lord that he made man on the earth, and grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man who I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things, fowls of the air, for repent me that I made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." Grace. Grace existed in the Old Testament. Don't let nobody tell you otherwise. Grace in the eyes of the Lord. Could you just imagine a world where every thought that was going through these individual minds were evil continuously over and over? And the word here is repented. And of course we know what most people will put the author of Genesis, the physical author, Noah, is trying to communicate, trying to stress to those around how bad it was and how sin or the sins were breaking God's heart. So he uses that word, God, about his heart and how it is broken. God doesn't have to repent for anything. But he's trying to use that strong language that we can get it when something bad happens to us, where our heart is in sorrow. In sorrow. To lose a loved one in your life. And it's even worse to lose a loved one that you know are denied Christ. There's a sorrow there. God created this world. God created human beings. And there they are. They're doing everything in wicked. And his heart is broken. His creation was designed to give him glory. Instead, they wanted to choose to celebrate their sins or sins. Can we really just think about it? We see our God, he's holy, he's righteous, and sins, and he will judge that. He has to, because he's holy, he's righteous. Matthew 24, 37 through 39 says this, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marriage and giving into marriage, and the day Noah entered to the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also be the coming of the Son of Man be." Wow. They were just living their life. Enjoying their sin. Yes, Noah. We hear you. You crazy old man, just keep building your ark. Nothing's going to happen to us. We will keep living the way we're living. Because we can. We are God. You can see this world, especially America. We're getting close there. I would argue the case that we're there. Sin compounds sin. Sin is still sin. It does not change with time. It does not change with culture. God said it is a sin. It is. We should never be okay with our sin or sins. Because it breaks God's heart. It should break ours. But as we see as the days of Noah. Acceptance of sin. And okay with living that lifestyle of sin. Marriage is sacred. It's between a man and a woman. It's been attacked way before I was even born. It's being defiled right before our eyes, right before my eyes today, right in America. Same-sex marriage is abomination to God. It's a sin as any other sin, just as fornication and adultery. Fornication is having sex before marriage. Adultery is when you're married, you have sex with somebody else. But they even have what this term, open marriage, where you can be together and still sleep with other people. And it's accepted. It's sad, many professing to know God are okay with that. We don't have to guess what sin is. The Bible's very clear on what sin is. Galatians 5, 19 through 21. Yeah, I'll just read them. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And I mentioned adultery, fornication, but here you got uncleanness, lasciviousness, that's uncontrolled lust, idolatry, witchcraft. Witchcraft, guys. Man, Harry Potter, how popular that is. You got churches out there trying to craft into Bible studies. It is witchcraft. It is demonic. It's satanic. Disney movies, they're exploring witches, magic. It's witchcraft. And then you wonder why your kid grows up into a young adult and they don't care nothing about God. You raise a child in the way he or she should go, right? You're not raising. You're letting Disney. You're letting Netflix. Well, Netflix exists that time. You're letting the TV raise your child. And you should. You're letting the education system raise your child. We should be very, very close to our kids. And when they come from school, ask and being very involved in their life and what was being taught. Even visiting the teachers and going to the school. Hate, variance, basically the perversion of the gospel, homosexuality, right? Immolation, that's jealous, competition, wrath, strive. Strive is bitter conflict, sedition, going against authorities. And that is when they're not going against God. Heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, reviling, that is drinking, getting drunk, and dancing, and seducing ways such as like that. And Paul continues on to say, and which I tell you before, I have told you also in time past, they which do such things shall not, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. First Corinthians 6, 9 through 10 says, knowing ye not the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived. Do not be deceived. Why? Because Satan deceives you. Paul's telling the Corinthians here and us today, be not deceived, neither fornicate nor idolatry, nor adulterers, nor effeminate. That is homosexuality. It's all unnatural sexual acts. You can see that with LGBT, right? Sad. Going against the nature of God. Nor thieves, or covetous, or drunkards, nor reviling, nor extorters shall inherit the kingdom of God. They will not inherit the kingdom of God. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. This know also in the last days, perilous times shall come. They will come. They're here. For man shall be lovers of their own selves. Oh, we're there, guys. Covetous, boasters, proud. Oh, we're definitely there. Blasphemer, when you cut the TV on, all the garbage that's coming out of that, and you're sitting there watching it, you're not even batting the eye to it. What's wrong with us? Why shouldn't that grieve our spirit? All the garbage that we can turn on and watch. Disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Unholy. Without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incompetent, fierce, despisers of those who are good, traitor, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. That's the American way, right? It feels good, do it. Nobody cares. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof from turn away. Revelation 21, 7 through 8 says this, he that overcomes shall inherit all the things and will be his God, and he shall be my son. But here, be fearful. But the fearful and unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the idolaters, all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with the fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Romans 1, 21 through 32 says this. I know some people probably are tuned out now, unfollowing me. They don't want to hear this. But I will never be accused not preaching the truth. There will nobody on the sound of my voice, because the Holy Spirit that burns in the fashion inside me will not on that day that have heard me preach will say, oh, he didn't tell me the truth. Oh, I'm burning in hell. Why did I listen to him? Why did I seek those telling me those comfortable lies? Romans 1, 21, 32. Because that when they knew God, they glorify him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain. Here's that word again. In their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made to the corruptible man, into birds, foul-footed beasts, and crawling creatures. Creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, to the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up to vile affection. For even the women did change the natural use into which is against nature. And likewise also the man, leaving the natural use of the woman, burning their lust one toward another, man with man, working which is unseemly, receiving themselves that recompense of their error which was met. And even as they did not like to reframe God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteous fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignant malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without the understanding, covet breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, and not only do the same, but they have pleasure in them, doing them. And you kind of want to recap. James 4:17 says this, therefore to him that know to do good and do it not, to him is a sin. Sin will lead to spiritual death. That is the second death. But we do not have to experience that second death, guys. We can seek God tonight. Truly. We can lay everything out, because he already knows. We can repent of our sin or sins. See, if you are a child of God, you will not want to live in a life that's filthy. You will want to seek the holiness and the righteousness of God. And if you don't get this, you don't receive this, Satan has deceived you. And your destination is hell. But you don't have to go there, guys. God loves you so much. He does not want you to go to hell. He wants you truly to commit your life to him. He wants you truly to come to him. Seek him every day. He wants to truly have you count the cost. And what it means to be a disciple and a soldier and putting the armor of God for Jesus. He wants you to walk more in the spirit, less in the flesh. He wants you to deny yourself daily and pick up that cross and follow him, right? Where this world offers you cannot surpass the awesomeness that's waiting for us as children, what he has promised us. What we may have suffered in this lifetime for the name of Jesus is nothing compared. The uncomfortness of this world does not even compare to the comfort waiting for us. Don't let somebody lie to you and tell you following Jesus is not there's not a cost to it. There is. Just study the Bible. Do not take my word for it. Open the Word of God. You can start at Matthew and work your way to Revelations, or you can go to Genesis and work your way all the way to Revelations. Study and seek His face. But you got John the Baptist, Peter, Luke, Mark, John, Paul, the disciples. They suffered greatly for the name of Jesus. Are we even better than that? No, I am no better than them. I do not even compare myself to them. I can't. All I can tell you, my heart, my soul is on fire for God. And majority of the churches don't want to hear it. If John the Baptist was preaching today, it wouldn't be in the wilderness. It would be in the churches. Imagine starting a sermon out in Matthew 3:7. Matthew chapter 3, 7 and all the way to 11. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, he have warned you to flee from the wrath to come. Whew. Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. Think not to say within yourself, we have Abraham to our father. Why? For I say unto you that God is able to turn these stones raise up children into Abraham. And now also the axe laid to the root of the tree. Therefore every tree which bring not forth good fruit is hemmed down and cast into the fire. And I did baptize you with water into repentance. But he that come after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Fire. Jesus came. The Son of God has come. He walked, he talked, he lived a perfect life without sin. He was blameless. He died, he rose, he left us the Holy Ghost with fire that should burn in our souls. This is why the heathen and the people are vain. They rage. They hate God. This world hates God. This world hates us. The true men and women of God. He will stand on the truth. And that will not back down from a world that is pushing sin as normalcy. We will not accept this. We will stand firm on the word of God. Regardless what will go down. We don't care because we have counted the cost. We know we're all in. Let it happen. We stand on truth. We don't accept the fornication, the adultery, the filthy speaking, the filthy lifestyle, the homosexuality, the transgender, the idolatry. Nothing becomes before us other than God in our prayer life. We put Him first in everything. Are we doing that? We stand for all life. We stand for our unborn babies being killed in the name of convenience. Because they shouldn't be having sex anyway before marriage, but abortion. And I know there's a few cases where they want to try, what about rape and incest? And they take a small exception and try to fit it in. See, the devil is clever. You give him a little step in that door, he takes all of it. He takes 1% and he makes it 100%. I'm telling you, most people today, they're giving abortions because inconvenient. I'm pregnant now. I'm young now. Oh, time is drawing near. Wake up. Wake up, America. Wake up, church. I pray for the American church. I pray that God rips it into pieces, shatters to the ground, where people say, let us have church on Monday. Let us have church on Tuesday. I can't make it without a day with church. I need God in my life. Do Bible studies. There ain't no brokenness. You go over 30 minutes, they thank you. Broke some law. They break my heart. And they're breaking God's heart. Revival. Right? Such a overused term. I believe in revival. Yes. But when you can barely read your Bible throughout the week, you barely can pray 7 minutes a day, throws me off. I don't brag, but I guarantee you I pray more than 7 minutes. Well, ceasing, fasting, humbling yourself, laying your brokenness before a holy and righteous God, you ain't going to do that, but then you're spouting revival, revival. The sad truth is, many who call a revival is not because they're not willing to pay the cost, because there's a cost, I promise you, to a true revival, but it's worth it. But the thing is, people leave a supposed revival and their life has not changed. They are exactly like that world afterwards. Our hearts have to change. I want to tell you, if there was a true revival happening in America right now, and I believe it could happen, but I don't know. I pray that things would change. Hearts, things would change. I promise you. Thing is, nothing is changing. It's just getting worse. That is verse 1. I don't think we're going to get too far. First verse of Psalms 2 was Why the heathen rage, right? Why do they rage? They do not want God in anything. They want their sin to engulf their lives. People imagine a vain thing. The heathen will rage because they're ruled by the god of this world, and that is Satan and his demons. That's why a majority of your education system is so corrupted. And what they're teaching our kids within the school system is sad and heartbreaking. I know there are some in there trying to stand for truth. My heart goes out to those teachers. But vast majority are not. We hit on that quote at the very beginning of this sermon study on Steve J. Cole. I just want to revisit that a little bit here in closing. Even though the world scene looks as if God has been on an extended vacation, David shows us that God's plan have not failed and shall not fail. Everything is under his ordained time. Thus David appeals to the rebellious nations to bow before the Almighty God while they still have time. And that lyric that I used, God's plan made a hopeful beginning, but man spoiled his chance by sinning. We trust that the story, but at present the other side's winning. As David was standing on truth, all the nations were coming down on him. You can see that in 2 Samuel 10, but you can read David's life. It's a high, medium, low, or I guess a high. It's a roller coaster ride up and down. Think about David. He was, when he sinned, he was truly repentant of his sin. And he didn't revisit it. How many of us, we repent, but we go right back to the same filth? That's why David was a man after God's own heart. But he was standing on truth. In this world, when we stand on truth, Satan and his demons will come after you. That's why it's very important for us to understand the armor of God. To understand that we have that belt of truth. That is the gospel, right? It holds everything together. And you realize we have this breastplate of righteousness that is a heart protector. Protects that vital organ, your heart. It's not our righteousness. It is a borrowed robe of righteousness. And our feet shone in the preparation, right? Feet, footwear, firm stance in the preparation of that peace. That peace that surpasses all understanding. That peace when the storms in life come. We know it'll be okay. Yes, it hurts. Yes, tears come. But we know we have that peace. I love that song by Casting Crowns. I'll praise you in the storm. Really, through difficult times in my life, I really cling to worship and praise. And I just let the Holy Spirit flow out of me as the tears come. And when I'm praying over the nations and the anti-God rhetoric, praying for a true revival, I hear revivals going on. But then I follow the after movement, what I call after the revival. Was that heart truly changed? We know if a heart is truly changed, a life will reflect that. A fruit will be produced through that. A life that is separate from this world that will stand. A person that is moved and changed will stand up for truth. A teacher in a school will proclaim the gospel to their students. A worker at work will proclaim the gospel to a lost boss. Oh, I might lose my job. So be it. If it's for the glory of God, so be it. He will take care of us. Oh, you're radical. We don't want to hear that. Oh, I can praise and worship and have this revival, but there's not a change in my heart. There's not a change to tell this world about Jesus. Then you wasted an hour or two of your time at that revival. Because revival starts with us and it spreads. If it stops there and doesn't spread, I truly believe a revival can change a local government. It can change the local education system. It can change everything. But what you're seeing, you're not seeing that. The armor of God. The helmet of salvation protects our mind. Knowing that you're a child of God is a precious thing. Don't let the devil take that from you. The sword, the word of God, most powerful. It's a double-edged sword, right? It's used for offensive, defensive tactics. That is the word of God. That is beautiful. The shield of faith. Oh, that shield of faith. You have to first come to Christ to have faith, right? But when that saving faith leads to a defensive faith that lives for a persistent faith that can lead to all avenues of faith in your life, just not one specific. I see the distortion of the word faith. It's sad. Faith is important. Faith is scriptural. But people take it out of contents. Hebrews 11:1 tells us what faith is. And from that you can go in a faith study. The hope of it. All the promises. And where are the promises? Promises. Good and bad promises. As the days get closer, as the days of Noah, the heathens will rage more and more. Their imaginations will grow evil and evil like the days of Noah. So will be that when the son of, the coming of Jesus, right? And I believe he's coming back soon. Amen. Well, we got to get this. Our life is supposed to be different. Jesus tells us many times, do not conform to this world. Do not love this world. Stand separate from this world. Our light is supposed to shine so bright. We should be that lighthouse on the hill. Shining out in that dark abyss ocean at other ships to come. To not hit those rocks that will destroy them. A light that brings them to safety. And that light is Jesus Christ. Our hearts and our minds should be on fire to stand for the truth, to speak out against sexual morality and idolatry, to stand against the abortions, to stand against all evils, standing up for our children and all the programs that are designed to corrupt their mind, from movies to television shows to the government to the education system. Right? Satan will rage, I promise you. But praise Jesus that we are standing. And we do that, we see a true revival. As you guys bow with me, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just come tonight, thank you for just flowing through me. I know many will not listen to this sermon. They probably turned it off and losing people that are following this ministry. It's not a big one, but it doesn't matter. one person or another person or somebody that might just come across this. It doesn't matter on the number. It's matter on the obedience to preach these messages and know that your word will not go void. Lord, I pray that you just keep us throughout the rest of the week. You guide and you direct our steps. I pray if there's somebody that sent off voices not accepting you into their lives, Lord, I pray they seek your face through the scriptures and put somebody in their life to tell them about salvation. Lord, I pray that you rise up men and women of God to stand, disciples to be a light, soldiers to be willing to do battle for the truth of the gospel, that we are armored up and we're ready for war. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ, amen. Love you guys. That was, we got through verse 1 on Psalms 2, so we'll see how far we can get next week. And guys, have any questions, just give me a text, or I think I removed my phone number off the email through this website, Facebook. You can friend me on Facebook, private message me, MeWe, Twitter, Instagram. I have Social Cross, which is kind of another kind of social media, but it's not as popular as Facebook. So you can hit me up with any of those social media outlets or outlines, however you want to look at it. Y'all have a good night. Love you guys. Bye.